This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We want to get her thoughts on some of the latest developments that have once again been revealed about what we can expect in the new healthcare laws passed earlier this year. And Grace Marie, always great to have you with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
Well, you and I have gone through several different things that have been revealed now that we've had a chance to actually find out what's in this bill. One of the things that was just revealed at the end of this week here by Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is that by 2014, when all of this really kicks in earnest, is that in addition to basic information like height and weight, our national electronic medical records will also have a body mass index. That'll be required. How important, how significant is that?
Well, I mean, now, if people don't think this legislation is Big Brother is watching, they're going to be looking at your bathroom scales, for crying out loud, and having this be part of your mandatory federal electronic health record. I mean, this is crazy. Of course, what's going to come next? They're going to tell us what we can or cannot eat. I mean, this legislation actually has provisions in it that allows the Secretary of Health and Human Services to advise chefs and restaurants on their menus and how they should prepare their recipes. The audacity of this is absolutely shocking.
Let's take it even a little bit further, and I hope this doesn't call for too much speculation, but just based on what you know of the folks that are on this healthcare team and what their agenda might be. Obviously, there's a big push from this White House right now. The First Lady's kind of leading this initiative against childhood obesity. But in terms of medical treatment, what access we will have, whether physicians down the road will determine whether or not folks are worthy of certain treatment because of the condition they might be in, is that reason for concern as you see it?
Well, there is absolutely no question that this legislation is going to lead to rationing. Not only is it pretty explicit, and not only has the president appointed the person to implement it who has a history of saying he loves rationing, Dr. Don Berwick, but we also see in every other country that has adopted a government-run, centrally controlled health sector that care is rationed. Sometimes it's explicit, and sometimes it's just it's implicit. But you see, for example, in the United Kingdom, that people just are not even told that dialysis might be an option for them if they're over 60 years old. They don't know that there are new cancer treatments that might not only cure their cancer, but that could allow them to live longer. So you see people not getting access to medical care as the government starts to decide that not only are we sort of interchangeable cogs in this national health care system, but that they know best. They know better than we do what care we should or should not get. There are lots of quotes from Berwick saying that people just aren't smart enough to make these decisions, that we have to have the government making these hard choices.
Grace Marie, get a little deeper on Berwick if you can. Now that he's in the job because of this recess appointment, at least for the next few months, we'll see what happens when a new Congress is in place. But in terms of what would be the tea leaves that we are really heading down this road to rationing, what would be some of the first steps he would take to signal that?
Well, the legislation itself is just really rife with opportunities for him to do this. And I remember last August when all the town hall meetings were sort of the big mantra was people are worried about death panels because there are provisions in this legislation for government officials to make decisions about what people can or cannot get. And Dr. Berwick said in an article that he wrote for the Annals of Internal Medicine, most people who have serious pain don't need advanced methods. They just need the morphine and counseling that have been available for centuries. He talks about needing to limit access to high technology and to intensive health care, especially at the end of life. So you know where he's coming from, and this legislation provides 153 new boards and commissions, including many that involve directly deciding what health care is good or bad, comparative effectiveness review, the new independent Medicare Payment Advisory Board. All of these are centrally controlled government bodies including those with unelected officials that are going to be making decisions about what medical care is good or bad. And my, you know, what we see in other countries is if it's expensive, it's bad. If it's cheap, it's good.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, I know there's been a couple other subjects just this week that you've been focusing on a lot. In fact, just on Thursday, you had a briefing on a new paper explaining why the Obama health law is not entitlement reform. That was one of the big selling points for this, is that we had to reform the system. And but you say that's not the case. Explain why.
Well, you know, that was exactly what conservative Democrats in Congress were convinced and really had their arms twisted to vote for Obamacare, because they said that's the only way that we're going to get the deficit under control and get the health care costs down. And Jim Capretta, who is a really, really serious budget expert, who used to work for the on the Senate Budget Committee, he was the health care analyst at the Office of Management and Budget, wrote a paper for us that we released on a, at a briefing yesterday on Capitol Hill, and basically shows through independent studies and expert analyses that those claims are not true, that it is going to increase the deficit, and it is going to make entitlement reform worse. We had Congressman Paul Ryan, who's the ranking Republican on the House Budget Committee, was the introductory speaker at our meeting, at our briefing yesterday, and he has produced the roadmap, a way out of this entitlement catastrophe that we're facing. And Doug Holtz-Aiken, who is the former Congressional Budget Director, said basically, I'm going to tell the young people in this audience, I'm going to use a technical term to tell you what you're facing with higher taxes, loss of economic opportunity in the future. He said, basically, my technical term is that you are toast, that this is the entitlement calamity that this country is facing, is not only already was it terrible, but it is made much worse by Obamacare, because it's added more unfunded mandates and entitlements on top of an existing system that already could not even begin to fulfill the promises that have been made. So we felt we have to look at that bigger picture issue, not just focus on Obamacare, but on the, in the context not only of other federal entitlement spending, but the future prosperity of our country is really at stake here. We've got to look at that.
The paper is entitled Why the Obama Health Plan is Not Entitlement Reform. You can download the whole thing at the Galen Institute website, which is galen.org. Grace Marie, always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.